Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So, it's been a while since we talked about the great leak fiasco of 2025, the roof leak. And, you know, recently I've been doing, really dialing down on the DIY stuff and doing stuff myself. And the cost of a proper professional moisture remediation thing is crazy. Like, if you want to get it done professionally, some guy has to capture the air in your moldy room, capture the air in the apartment, and then send it off to a lab, maybe in another continent. So although it's undoubtedly a very smart methodology, my wife and I, after living on the couch for a month and only having about 5 months left in this place, we kind of feel so depleted that we're just happy to have the HEPA filter running. But I figured that it would be a good thing to, even if we couldn't afford to get a proper moisture guy out, after listening to Herman and explaining about the how basically mold can live in the building material for way longer than you think. Like, the wall might look dry, but it might have a faint smell, faint little odor. And I said, well, I looked them up on AliExpress, of course, and I figured that for $30, it would be a diagnostic tool that would actually be a really useful thing to have. So it came a few days ago, and today I very eagerly got to using it, and it was really, really interesting. I was pushing it up against, it's a pinless moisture meter, and of course for $30, we can't expect the Rolls Royce of technology, but it seemed to be pretty accurate because I was, you know, bring it over my office, which didn't have any leak issues, and basically 10% here and there, 7%, but mostly nothing very extraordinary. I started putting it up against the wall where we had the leak, and crazy, started seeing values of 70, 80%, 100%. This was on the dry wall setting. And it also seemed very specific. Like, I might move it a few centimeters over this way and we're back to 50%, then back to zero. So like kind of a gradient. What I'd love to know, Herman and Corin, because I wasn't expecting this to actually work. I assume, like every tool, there's a bit of skill needed in operation and interpretation. And I'm interested to know, firstly, when you're actually using one of these things, my wife said, well, this is interesting information, but what can we do with it? At the moment, not much as renters, but when we do own a place, if we ever had a moisture issue, this information could actually be really helpful. So firstly, Herman and Corin, how does this actually work? And the different settings, this one has like a drywall setting, different settings for cement. If you don't have exactly the type of wall listed there, which one do you want to use? And when you see these readings of like 80% going up to 100% and the wall doesn't physically seem wet, what's actually happening? So like, it's sensing inside the wall. I'm just curious to know basically what information you're getting out of this tool and what you need to actually use it properly for remediation efforts. Herman and Corin, let's talk about pinless moisture meters today, using them to identify moisture in your place. How do you make the best use of the tool you have? And if one is lucky enough to own their place and actually be able to use this, not only for diagnostics, but for remediation, what kind of clues would you be looking for to know exactly what to do?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I'm Corn, and I'm sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem with my brother, the man who probably has more technical manuals on his nightstand than actual novels.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And to be fair, Corn, some of those manuals have very compelling plots if you understand the physics of fluid dynamics.
I will take your word for it. So, we are diving into a topic today that is literally hitting close to home. Our housemate Daniel has been dealing with that lingering roof leak from the big storms back in early 2025. You remember those weeks of torrential rain that turned the Kidron Valley into a river, and he finally decided to take matters into his own hands. He went out and bought a pinless moisture meter to see what is actually going on inside the walls.
I saw him wandering around the hallway with it earlier. It is that little orange handheld device. He was looking a bit perplexed because he was getting some really high readings on walls that look and feel completely dry to the touch. We are talking 80 to 100% moisture levels on a surface that feels like bone-dry plaster.
Exactly. He sent us this prompt because he wants to know how these things actually work. Is it magic? Is it just guessing? And more importantly, how do you interpret those crazy numbers? If the wall feels dry, but the meter says it is a swamp, who do you trust?
It is a classic diagnostic dilemma. And it is actually a perfect topic for us because moisture meters are one of those tools that are incredibly easy to use, but surprisingly difficult to master. You can pull the trigger and see a number, but without understanding the underlying technology, that number can be completely misleading.
Well, let us start with the basics then. There are two main types of moisture meters, right? You have the ones with the sharp pins that you actually poke into the wood or drywall, and then you have these pinless ones like the one Daniel bought. Why would someone choose the pinless version?
The biggest reason is that it is non-destructive. If you have a beautiful, freshly painted wall or a high-end hardwood floor, the last thing you want to do is poke two little holes in it every 6 inches to map out a leak. Pinless meters use a completely different physical principle to see into the material without damaging the surface.
So how does it actually see through the paint and the plaster? What is the mechanism there?
It is all about capacitance and electromagnetic fields. A pinless moisture meter has a sensor pad on the back. When you press that pad against a wall, the device emits a low-frequency electromagnetic signal, usually in the radio frequency range. This signal creates an electric field that penetrates the material, usually to a depth of about 3/4 inch to a full inch, depending on the model.
Okay, so it is sending a field into the wall. How does that tell us if there is water there?
It measures what we call the dielectric constant of the material. Basically, different materials have different capacities to store electrical energy. Dry wood, for example, has a very low dielectric constant, usually between 2 and 5. But water has a very high dielectric constant of about 80. Because water molecules are polar, meaning they have a positive and negative end, they polarize or align themselves with the meter's electric field. This changes the capacitance that the device is sensing. The meter detects that massive jump in capacitance and translates it into a moisture reading.
That is fascinating. So it is not actually measuring the water directly, it is measuring how much the material in the wall is messing with its electric field.
Precisely. And that is exactly why Daniel is getting those weird readings. Because the meter is looking for anything that changes the capacitance of that field. Water is the most common culprit, but it is certainly not the only one.
That leads perfectly into Daniel's big question. He is seeing 80 to 100% moisture on a wall that feels dry. If the surface is dry, but the meter is screaming wet, what is actually happening behind the scenes?
There are a few possibilities, and this is where the detective work comes in. The first possibility is that the wall really is wet, just not on the surface. Remember, these meters penetrate about an inch deep. Drywall is usually only 1/2 inch or 5/8 inch thick, so the meter is seeing right through the drywall and sensing moisture in the insulation or the wooden studs behind it. The paper and gypsum on the surface might have dried out, but the guts of the wall could still be holding a significant amount of water.
That makes sense. It is like a sponge that you have squeezed out. The outside feels okay, but if you press hard, you realize the center is still soaked. But what about the other possibilities? What else could trip up the sensor?
This is where most people get led astray. Because these devices rely on electromagnetic fields, they are incredibly sensitive to anything conductive or dense. If Daniel is holding that meter against a spot where there is a metal stud, a copper pipe, or even a bundle of electrical wires behind the drywall, the meter is going to peg at 100%. The metal interferes with the electric field in a way that the device interprets as maximum moisture.
Oh, that is a huge point. So if you do not know where your pipes or studs are, you might think you have a massive leak when you are actually just looking at a piece of rebar or a junction box.
Exactly. I once saw a guy almost tear out a perfectly good kitchen wall because his meter was hitting red everywhere. Turns out the wall had a foil-backed insulation layer. That thin sheet of aluminum foil was reflecting the meter's signal and giving a false positive across the entire room.
So how do you tell the difference? If I am Daniel and I am looking at an 80% reading, how do I know if it is a pipe or a leak?
You look for the plume. Water almost never exists in a perfectly straight, narrow line inside a wall unless it is literally a pipe that is currently spraying. Water spreads. If it is a leak, you will see a gradient. It will be 100% at the source, then 80, then 60, then 40 as you move away. It will have an organic, blooming shape. If the high reading is sudden, localized, and follows a perfectly vertical or horizontal line, you are probably looking at a pipe or a stud.
That is a great tip. Look for the shape of the moisture, not just the number. Now, Daniel also mentioned settings. His meter has different modes for drywall, masonry, and wood. Why does the device care what it is looking at if it is just measuring capacitance?
It goes back to that dielectric constant. Every material has a baseline capacitance when it is dry. Drywall is very airy and light, so its baseline is low. Hardwood is much denser, and masonry, like brick or concrete, is denser still. If you use the wood setting on a brick wall, the meter will think the natural density of the brick is actually a massive amount of water in wood. It will give you a wildly inaccurate reading.
So the settings are basically a way of telling the internal computer, hey, subtract this much density from the total so we can see what the actual water content is.
Spot on. It is a calibration offset. For wood, many meters are calibrated specifically for Douglas fir. If you are measuring oak or teak, you actually have to apply a species correction factor because the density is so different. For a plaster overlath wall, which we have a lot of here in Jerusalem, the drywall setting might be too sensitive, while the masonry setting might not be sensitive enough. In those cases, the actual number matters less than the relative change.
Let us talk about those numbers for a second. Daniel is seeing 80%. In his head, that sounds like the wall is 80% water and 20% wool, which would basically be a waterfall. But that is not what that percentage means, right?
No, and this is a common misconception. On many of these budget-friendly meters, that percentage is a relative scale, not an absolute moisture content scale. It is basically saying, on a scale of 0 to 100, how much interference am I sensing compared to my maximum calibrated limit?
So it is more like a hot or cold game, rather than a scientific measurement of water weight.
For the relative scale, yes. Now, on the wood setting, many meters actually do try to give you the moisture content, or MC percentage, which is the weight of the water divided by the weight of the dry wood. For wood, anything above 20% is considered the danger zone, where mold can start to grow and rot can set in. But for drywall or masonry, those numbers are almost always relative. A10 might be your baseline for a drywall, and anything above 20 is cause for concern.
So if Daniel is seeing 80, and his baseline in a dry room is 10, he definitely has a problem, even if the wall is not literally 80% liquid.
Correct. The first thing I told him to do was go to a wall that he knows for a fact is dry, on the other side of the house. Use that to establish a dry standard. If the dry wall reads 5%, and the suspect wall reads 80%, you have verified that there is a significant anomaly there.
I love that. Use the tool to find the normal before you try to find the weird. Now, let us get into the remediation side of things. Daniel is a renter right now, but he is looking to buy a place soon. How can a tool like this help someone who is actually trying to fix a problem or verify that a repair worked?
This is where the moisture meter becomes a time-traveling device. It allows you to see the history of a leak. If you have a roof leak, the water often travels. It hits a rafter, runs down a stud, and pools on a floor plate 3 rooms away. By using the meter to map out the moisture, you can trace the path of the water back to its entry point.
Instead of just guessing where the hole in the roof is, based on where the puddle is on the floor.
Exactly. You follow the moisture gradient up, and once the leak is fixed, the meter is your best friend for the drying process. Just because you patch the roof does not mean the house is safe. If that moisture stays trapped inside the wall at 60 or 70%, you are going to have a mold factory behind your wallpaper within a few weeks.
So you use the meter to monitor the dry down process?
Yes. Professionals will actually mark the wall with a pencil or keep a log. Monday it was 80%. Wednesday, with a dehumidifier running, it is down to 60. Friday it is 40. Once it hits that baseline dry standard you established earlier, you know it is safe to patch the drywall or repaint. If the number stops dropping, or if it goes back up after a rain, you know your fix did not actually work.
That is such a powerful use case. It takes the guesswork out of it. You are not just sniffing the air and hoping for the best. You have data.
It is all about the data. And for $30, which is what Daniel spent, you are getting a lot of diagnostic power. You just have to be smarter than the sensor. You have to account for the metal, the density, and the depth.
You mentioned depth earlier. These things go about an inch deep. Is there ever a situation where that is not enough? What if the leak is deeper inside a thick stone wall like the ones we have here in the old city?
That is the limitation of the pinless meter. If you have a 2-foot thick stone wall, a pinless meter is only telling you what is happening in that first inch. There could be a river running through the middle of that wall, and you might not see it if the exterior inch has dried out. That is when professionals switch to deep wall probes, which are basically long insulated pins. They drill into the material. But for modern construction, drywall, and standard wooden framing, an inch of depth covers almost everything you need to see.
I am curious about the misconception-busting part of this. What is the one thing people always get wrong when they first pick up one of these meters?
They trust the green, yellow, red lights too much. Most of these meters have a little traffic light system. Green is dry, yellow is moist, red is wet. But those thresholds are arbitrary. They are set by the manufacturer based on a typical material. But as we discussed, there is no such thing as a typical wall. A red light on a concrete basement wall might actually be perfectly normal for that environment, while a green light on a piece of expensive oak flooring might actually be hiding a moisture level that is high enough to cause warping.
So ignore the lights, look at the numbers, and compare them to your dry baseline.
Precisely. And remember that these tools are sensitive to surface moisture too. If you have just wiped down a wall with a damp cloth, or if there is high humidity in the room and a bit of condensation on the surface, a pinless meter will give you a high reading even if the inside of the wall is dry. The electric field gets scrambled by that surface water.
That is a good point. So make sure the surface is clean and dry before you start measuring the innards.
Right. And one other thing most people do not realize is that the hand effect is real. If you hold the meter wrong, or if your fingers are too close to the sensor pad on the back, the moisture in your own skin can influence the reading. Your body is basically a big bag of salty water, which is the ultimate high dielectric constant material.
Wait, really? So I could be giving the wall a wet reading just because my hand is sweaty?
Potentially, yeah. Most good meters have a grip area that is shielded, but if you are reaching into a tight corner and you wrap your hand around the head of the device, you are going to see that number jump. You have to hold it by the handle and keep your other hand far away from the wall you are testing.
This is starting to sound like a very technical dance, but it makes sense. It is a precision instrument, even if it only costs $30.
It really is. And I think for Daniel, the aha moment is going to be when he realizes that the 80% reading is not a failure of the device. It is an invitation to look deeper. If he moves the meter 6 inches to the left and it drops to 10%, he has found the edge of the wet zone. If he moves it up and it stays at 80, he is following the trail.
It is like being a detective where the clues are invisible to the naked eye. I actually find that really exciting. It turns a boring chore like checking for leaks into a bit of a science experiment.
It is. And if you are looking to buy a home, bringing one of these to an open house is a pro move. You can check under the kitchen sink, around the toilets, and near the windows without leaving a single mark. If you find a hot spot that the seller has tried to cover up with a fresh coat of paint, that $30 meter just saved you $30,000 in future remediation costs.
That is a massive second-order effect. It is not just about fixing the leak you have. It is about preventing the house you haven't bought yet from becoming a nightmare.
Exactly. And speaking of remediation, there is one more thing Daniel should look out for. Salts. If a wall has been wet for a long time, especially masonry, it can develop something called efflorescence. It is that white, powdery stuff you see on old bricks. Those salts are highly conductive. Even after the wall is dry, those leftover salts can sometimes cause a moisture meter to read high because they mess with the electrical signal.
So the ghost of the moisture can haunt the meter even after the water is gone?
That is a great way to put it. The ghost of moisture. If you have a high reading, but the wall is bone dry and there has been no rain for a month, you might be looking at mineral deposits left behind by old leaks.
This is why I love doing this show with you, Herman. We start with a simple question about a gadget and end up talking about the ghosts of mineral deposits and the dielectric constants of gypsum.
It is all connected, Korn. The world is just one big series of overlapping electromagnetic fields. We are just trying to navigate through them without getting our socks wet.
Well, I think we have given Daniel plenty to chew on. He needs to establish his dry baseline, map the plume, watch out for the metal studs, and ignore the red light in favor of the actual relative numbers.
And keep his sweaty hands away from the sensor.
That too. Before we wrap up, I want to remind everyone that if you are finding these deep dives helpful, or if you just enjoy hearing Herman nerd out about capacitance, we would really appreciate a review on Spotify or whatever podcast app you are using. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show.
It really does. And if you have your own weird prompts or gadgets you are trying to figure out, you can always reach out to us through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com. We love hearing what you guys are working on.
You can find all our past episodes there too, plus the RSS feed if you want to make sure you never miss a deep dive. We have covered everything from the ethics of AI to the best way to ferment your own hot sauce, so there is plenty to explore.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. Thanks for listening, and good luck with the leak, Daniel. We will see you all in the next episode.
Goodbye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.